from KQED.
We're going to shift gears here, and let me introduce my friend Dan Brecke. Shift gears to what? Well, we want to turn our attention to BART, and let me say something about that. The transit agency is getting, well, creative and trying out new fare gate designs to crack down on fare cheats, who it says drain anywhere from $15 to $25 million a year in revenue. BART installed the first of their new prototypes, the double-decker gate, on June 9th at the Richmond Station to mixed reviews. Critics recoil at the design, the function, and the accessibility of the new design, and supporters, on the other hand, appreciate that BART is trying to crack down on fare evaders. So, reporter Dan Brecke's here, and Dan, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let's hear your thoughts on this.
I do not have a messianic vision of curing fare evasion, and I don't think BART does either. You know, the last time I went through Richmond Station was about a week ago on my way to the ferry. And, it gets your attention that all of a sudden you've got this double-level gate, and it unfortunately kind of looks like Jaws that might the upper level.
People say it's scary looking. Yeah.
Well, it's a little scary looking. It's different. But, you know, what the agency is responding to is a lot of rider discontent at the very visible phenomenon of fare evasion in the system, and a recent grand jury report in Alameda County that made some claims about what the level of fare evasion is, as many as 15% of passengers every day. Now, BART disputes that figure, but everybody agrees that it's something that's costing the system $15 million to $25 million a year. So what can they do about it? The agency has been wrestling with this for the last couple of years, and this is one of the hardware fixes for the problem, perhaps.
Do they know what kind of fix it's going to be in terms of its efficacy? Any idea, any speculation here?
Well, the anecdotal evidence, as captured by news crews, is that people are pretty creative at wiggling their way through these or going under. Or tailgating is a popular method, too, where you rush through the gate before it snaps shut behind a person who put their ticket through. So those things are going to be there. And one thing in looking into this over the past couple of weeks since the grand jury report came out, this is a universal problem in transit. Muni, its most recent estimate of fare evasion was nearly 8%. And that's a little bit more than what BART estimates its fare evasion rate is, the number of passengers who fail to pay. And there are other systems. For instance, you know, New York's subway system is sort of the gold standard or at least a benchmark for everything that happens in transit. It's the most extreme, it's the biggest, it's the most efficient and inefficient. And they used to have a fare evasion rate on the subway of 1.5%. That's up to 3.5% now. But on the MTA buses there, fare evasion is 20%. So 1 in 5 passengers get on without paying. So there are agencies all over the world wrestling with this. And what sorts of penalties or devices can cure people's penchant or need, some would argue.
Proclivity, I think.
Proclivity. Proclivity is a good word to get on transit without paying. The only place I find where this isn't such a problem is Singapore, where they're noted for draconian responses to civil infractions. And they claim that only one half of 1% of passengers ride without paying there.
A lot of people haven't seen these gates. Can you describe them? I mean, why they're so controversial? A lot of it has to do with the look of them. Like you said, like Jaws, but what else?
Well, the traditional BART gates that people might be familiar with are the module is about waist high, and they've got a pair of triangular red, I'm not sure what you call them, but barriers that will swing, they open when you put your ticket through. So what BART has done is basically stack a second module on top of the first one. So now you've got two levels of these barriers in front of you. And as I said, they're triangular. They remind you of teeth. And the upper level is actually pretty close to your chest and head, and that freaks people out. And it's raised some questions among passengers with disabilities who have to go through gates in chairs about whether these could close on their heads. So that's what they look like.
Think about guillotines, maybe, huh?
Some people have brought that out, that these were popular in Paris in the late 18th century.
Well, what do you think about the gates? If you've seen them, the fair gates, we'd like to hear from you. Just in general, this whole attempt to really do something about the terrible situation with respect to evasion of fares. You can give us a call now, and I invite you to do that. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. We're with Dan Brecke, and we can be with you as well. You can join us again at that toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. And also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions or comments to forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. And here's Susan, who writes, I'm a little old lady who has tried the gates. It seems they could knock over a fragile 100-pound 80-year-old, especially if twisting to reach a Clipper card. I was scared by it.
Well, that seems to be a common reaction. I mean, the very first reaction I got from a friend of mine on social media when I posted a picture last week on Facebook is, you know, what's going to happen when this hits somebody in the head?
Waiting for litigation and the lawyers, huh?
Well, listen, I think Bart's position is they have to do something. They do passenger satisfaction surveys, and people are – in the surveys, people are very upset about non-paying passengers on the system. This is one of the top gripes. There's another side to this, too, that has to be pointed out, though, that there are some people, and it's sort of an out-there suggestion right now, there are some people who are suggesting that transit would really work a lot better if we could work out a funding mechanism so that people could just ride free and remove this factor.
Let me read you a suggestion. It just came in from a listener who writes, if BART doesn't come up with something soon, then they should just make it free. It's not fair to paying customers to have an honor system where a significant number of people refuse to pay with little to no consequence, or BART should consider an income-based fare system.
You know, so one agency in the Bay Area that is doing that is Muni in San Francisco. They actually do have a low-income fare system. You can ride free. It's means-tested. You do have to apply and provide some kind of income verification. It's not free for Muni, though. They spend more than $20 million a year
to do
that. That's
pretty bureaucratic and red tape stuff, isn't it?
Well, it's not. Well, you just can't. I mean, it's not the same as just saying all comers just get on the bus, for instance, or get on BART. The challenge for BART, though, is that it's a little unusual, or maybe very unusual, in transit systems in that it recaptures about 70 to 75%. Recaptures is the wrong word. It relies on fare gate revenue to operate. About 75% of its operating revenue comes from fares. That's very high. There are systems here in the Bay Area, for instance, VTA, Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority, they're only getting 9% of their operating revenue from fares.
Let me read another suggestion from a listener. It says, BART should be paid for the way that we pay for all other public services, taxes. The ticketing system is wasteful and expensive. People who use BART are doing a service by relieving the traffic congestion and environmental impact. Transportation equals commerce, which benefits all of us, even people who never ride BART. And I want to get to our callers here. You want to say something about that, Dan?
No, I want to hear what people have to say.
So do I. Let me go to our calls. We go first to Oakland. Welcome, Shamar. Good morning. Sounds like he may be on the on the transit as we're speaking here.
Okay.
Shamar, are you there? Or am I?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Good morning. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, so sorry about that. I'm coming from you on the train, actually, as a fare evader. And just wanted to point out that I think fare evaders, you know, come in all shapes and sizes, all income levels, and that, you know, it's really, I think a lot of the anger around it is a little bit, you know, misplaced, and a lot of it on the misconception that it is, you know, poor or brown people. But in reality, you know, we come in all shapes and sizes. I also just wanted to point out that BART spends an inordinate amount of money on their police. The system runs through cities that all have excellent, well-funded police systems that, you know, don't need to be doubled by BART. So when you're paying your fare, that's what you're paying for. And that, with other just waste and poor management, is why I just can't pay for it. I love it. but the environmental benefits, the convenience, the new trains, the bond one right now, are pretty great. But, you know, they've got to get their act together. It's really...
Okay, Shamar, keep on rolling, and thanks for the call there. Dan, you want to come in?
Well, don't complain when the train doesn't run, number one. And number two, yes, I'm aware, and I think other passengers are aware, that fare evaders come in all shapes and sizes and colors and income levels, and that doesn't make people any happier about it.
Let me get more calls on, and we go next to Stephen in San Mateo. Good morning. You're on forum. Stephen, are you there?
Sorry, I didn't hear you. Hello.
Hi.
I said a comment about why doesn't BART replace their fare gates, something more similar to the fare gates on the Muni system, since they're significantly harder to jump, and I've never heard any aesthetic complaints about them. They look fine.
Yeah, I've wondered that same thing, but here's the... I think the bottom line fact is it's a very expensive project. It's going to cost in the hundreds of millions of dollars if they decide to replace all the fare gates at their almost four dozen stations. So I think that's what they're up against. If they decide to do that, they're going to have to find a lot of money for the project.
Gene wants to know, and let me thank you for that call, Stephen. Gene wants to know, if the double-decker gates are of concern to people in wheelchairs, then what about their impact on children or short adults? That's a lot of people at risk.
It is, and I would say that, you know, people have had some problems with the existing fare gates, although, again, from a fare evasion perspective or a passage perspective, even the old gates have been problematic for some passengers.
Do you know, has there been much attempt to crack down vis-a-vis prosecution of these fare evaders?
Well, BART has started a proof of payment system. So there is a team of fare inspectors, a small team. I believe it's currently eight officers who roam the system and need to systematically either go through a car or down a train platform to see if people have proof that they've paid to get into the system. The fly in the ointment there is that while lots of citations have been handed out, very few are paid. About 90% go unpaid. And there is a mechanism for going after the non-payers. They can the state franchise tax board can try to dun people or, you know, garnish their tax refunds or other revenue.
Their wages, yeah.
Yeah, but so far, according to Phil Matera at the Chronicle, I'll give him credit, only one penalty has actually been assessed. One out of the thousands of tickets that have been written have been recaptured through the franchise tax board.
Lorenio writes, make it free. Save on ticket machine maintenance, gates, etc. Up the security for crime prevention. Here's another caller from Livermore. That's you, Sunil. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I am from India and from Bombay, and we have a really elaborate train system, public transport system. We don't have anything that checks your ticket while you enter the train, but we have ticket checkers on the train that goes and checks for your ticket. So that's one option. And other option is we have monthly pass. I don't ride the BART, but what happens if you allow monthly pass on the BART? Would that have regular riders to get on a discounted monthly pass?
There is a small discount for people who buy what they call high-value tickets with their Clipper card. So if you buy if you spend $60, for instance, you get $64 worth of rides. And that's the closest analogy to a monthly pass there. In terms of the ticket checkers, that's what the proof of payment system is trying to do, although what you're talking about in Bombay, and I think it's also quite common throughout Europe, is having a really having a net of fare inspectors out there who are likely to run into you or you're likely to run into while you're on the train. I have a friend in Berkeley who has been caught twice in Italy without a valid ticket, and it's not a fun experience.
You openly have friendships with fare-evaders?
We're negotiating that friendship.
Let me thank that caller. Actually, speaking about Europe, this is a listener who says many public transit systems in Europe are on the honor system, but then they use undercover agents who observe on and off the bus, tram, or train to identify potential fare abusers and also monitor security issues. This seems to work well in places like Vienna, and it's much less intrusive to the vast majority of honest riders.
Yeah, they're trying all sorts of different things in Europe. That method. They also have some draconian penalties in place in certain cities and countries. Germany actually will send people to jail over non-payment of transit fares. London has a maximum £1,000 fine for non-payment. However, people still violate the law there.
Here's another caller. Join us, David. You're on the air.
Hello, my name is David from San Francisco. I very rarely ride BART, but I often forget my Clipper card, or when I ride BART for these large events, it's really difficult to purchase a ticket. So I want to know how the integration of Apple Pay or some sort of digital card could limit the amount of people who evade fares, because oftentimes I want to pay the fare, it just gets really difficult to actually purchase a ticket.
You know, I know some people have complained, and, you know, with some justice, that there's not a unified fare system in the Bay Area, that some of these not even cutting-edge systems like Apple Pay or something like that are not in place. There is a second generation of Clipper coming. I think what most people do who are in your situation probably do an auto reload feature, which you can do on Clipper, and that way you never run out of fare and never have to buy another one.
Let me thank you for that call, David. Let's try to get Steve in here. Steve, you're on. You're a former transit worker?
Yes. I actually retired after 28 years of being a transit mechanic. And, you know, the funding that comes in to pay for mass transit is a fairly complicated thing. You know, you have a tax base. Urban Mass Transit Authority gives you funding and the fare box. When you lose one of those things, it affects the service that everybody complains about.
Yeah, point well taken. Steve, thank you so much for that call. And I have to leave it there. Any speculation about the future on this, Dan Brecky, before I say who's behind the scenes here?
I predict that if you ride BART in the next few days, you will see a fare evader.
Okay. And maybe your friend, in fact. KQED Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Larberg, Susan Britton, and Karina Yaffe. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin and Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from Amanda Font and Ariana Prale. Interns are Caroline Smith and Sam Klein-Markman. Executive editor is Ethan Lindsay, and our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. And thank you to all of you who participated in this morning's program. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.